good. We don't have a special on this Sunday morning because we've had quite a bit of music already. So open your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you brought a Bible with you this morning, if you didn't, just I don't think it'll be difficult to follow along today. But Ecclesiastes, that's if you go to the book of Psalms and go to your right through Proverbs, then you'll come to Ecclesiastes. It's a smaller book, 12 chapters. Find the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter in this book. And we're going to read two verses out of the chapter, and then I'll preach a message from it this morning for us. If you are able to stand, and we'd like to invite you to do that as we read God's Word in honor of the Bible this morning. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Look down at verse number 7. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now I want to speak on the subject that's found, the words are found in verse number 1, in the very beginning there, where the Bible says, "the days of thy youth." So that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, the days of thy youth. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to be in church today, especially on this Youth Emphasis Sunday. And Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to have young people in our church ministry. And I pray that you'll bless me now, speak to our hearts. Lord, fill us, both speaker and listener, with your spirit. I pray that some good things would happen in our hearts today as we hear your word preached. In Jesus' name I ask it. And amen. Thank you and be seated. Be seated. Some of my relatives in another state are very, very faithful to their local church. It's an independent Baptist church, and they have attended it, and they have served in it for years and years. They're very, very loyal to it. It's rare that they miss. They feel an obligation to be in their place every service. It's sad, but there are no young people in the church, or very few. The congregation is aging, and there's nothing sad about an aging congregation unless that's all you have. And truthfully, with an aging congregation, many of them are to the age where they lack the physical energy to carry on youth work. It takes a lot of bodies, and energetic bodies at that, to build and maintain a ministry for youth. This takes a lot. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon, he also wrote Ecclesiastes. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 4, listen to this verse. Solomon wrote, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the oxen." Now, if you don't want to go to the effort of having to clean the crib, then don't have an ox. But if you enjoy the increase that the ox provides by way of his strength, then you're going to have to clean the crib. Can't have it both ways. See, the ox makes work that you have to do. But the ox also works and does things that you cannot do. So if you're interested in making a living by farming, you own an ox and you clean the crib. That's how it goes. Now, with that said, I am not comparing children to oxen this morning. Okay? But if you don't want the work that goes with the youth ministry, then don't have ministries for youth. But if you want the joy and the blessing and the spirit that youth bring to a church, then be prepared for the work that they create. It's exactly what it's the same truth. You know, I thank God for the youth of Faith Baptist Church. They create work, but they bring so much to the table of the ministry of our church, I wouldn't want to be without them. And I remind you, those that have been here, of the couple months in 2020 when we did not run our buses last year. Remember that, right? I forget exactly how many weeks it was. It wasn't many, but there was a handful of weeks we didn't run our buses. And during those weeks, there was no need for bus workers. There was no need for bus drivers. There was no need for bus captains. No need for teachers. No need for helpers in Sunday school and in junior church. There were no behavior issues. There were no messes on the floors of some of the classrooms. You couldn't find a piece or a scrap piece of paper on any of those floors. No expense for gas. But they were missed. Because a part of our church ministry was missing. And I believe we felt it. And I well remember the Sunday that we restarted the bus ministry. And all the morning bus routes, all the buses met over here, I think in the Hobby Lobby parking lot. I think it was at the Hobby Lobby parking lot. And they all met, they don't do that normally, they just come into church when they come in. But they all met over there for the purpose of coming in together. And those of us that were here for church, we went out here to the front of the church, and some of you made signs, we had horns, and the buses. I remember that first bus that came over the hill, and the second bus followed, and the third bus, and the however many there was. And they came here, and they pulled in this drive right here, and came around the front of the church, and we cheered, and shouted, and the horns blew, and we welcomed them back to Faith Baptist Church. I can still see that in my mind's eye. And the thing that struck me was the looks on the faces of the workers and the drivers and the adults on the bus. Because there was joy. There was delight. And those people don't get paid anything, at least down here. And they don't get paid with money up in heaven, but there are rewards for serving God. I'll promise you that. And it made me realize those folks that are on those buses, those adults and those young people, those teenagers, they don't serve in that ministry because they have to. They serve there because they want to. And those kids bring something to the church that no other folks can bring. They just bring something to the church family. And on this special Sunday in years gone by, I have attempted to answer a question in my messages about the emphasis on youth. And that question is just simply, why? Why go to the work of the bus ministry? Why go to the work of the King's Kids ministry, the afternoon Sunday school ministry, the junior church ministry, the music ministries, the violin classes, the music, piano lessons, and the orchestra lessons for the younger kids? Why go to all that? Why go to the junior church ministry? Why go through the school ministry? Why all of these ministries and emphasis on kids? Why? And there are several reasons that I've preached on some, you know, in the past. But today we look at another reason, another answer to the question, why? And I'm going to get there in just a minute. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes in his old age. He had been so blessed by God when he was younger. But as he got older, he allowed his lust for women and for money to get the best of him. He lost the blessing of God. And now his kingdom is having trouble. And God gives him the book of Ecclesiastes to teach us how to live well. And he comes to the end of the book, chapter 12. This is it. And in verse number 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." So in the days of our youth, those years should be spent remembering our Creator. It is in our youth that young people should be learning about and thinking about and living for God. And Solomon said, sometime the evil days will come, days in which we find no pleasure. And as you read down through these next several verses, he's not referring to sinful days. He is referring to old age. That's what he calls evil days. Now, I don't think those that are, 55, 60, Brother Scott turned 69 today, Brother Stone's birthday's today, those who are at that age bracket, which includes myself now, these are not evil days in the sense of, man, we're living for the devil and not having any victory or anything. But he's talking about physically. Physically. And that's what he's talking about here. You know, your body starts to break down. Rare is the 80-plus-year-old person who does not experience some sort of problem with eyesight or hearing or loss of energy. Hands tremble. We just had a good friend of mine not so long ago preach here in the church. been here many times. And we had him to our house on Sunday for a lunch, like we do guest speakers. And we're sitting there at lunchtime, and I noticed that his hands are trembling. And I said, "Brother, are your hands trembling?" He said, "Yeah, they started to shake." And he's not terribly old, but he is at that age where your body starts to break down a little bit. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. Your feet move slower. Your teeth create problems. You know what it's called, folks? Old age. And it's going to happen to you if you live long enough. So don't get impatient with the guy going down the road driving 43 miles an hour. Okay? And you're riding on his bumper. And they go, "Man, come on, what's wrong with you?" Because you'll be there yourself one day when you're just not quite as sure as you used to be. That's what Solomon's talking about. The evil days, not in the sense of sin. Evil days in the sense of your body's growing older and you just can't do what your mind says, "I can do this." And then when you attempt it, you might get it done, but you pay for it for 4 or 5 days afterwards. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. All right. Now, the word "remember" here, first word in verse number 1. The word "remember" means to be mindful, to call to mind. So in the days of our youth, we are to be mindful of our Creator. Now, do you notice something about the word "Creator" in your Bible? Do you see it there? If you got a Bible, you're looking at it. I hope you're not looking at your phone and taking and doing text messaging and all that during church. What a dishonoring thing to God. To be involved in phone work while we're in God's place. That's ridiculous. Remember now thy uppercase C. Creator. Here, Creator is another name for God. That is a proper noun. Another name for God. God is Creator. Now, isn't it interesting that in the days of our youth, we're to remember God through the name Creator. And if children are going to be mindful of God from the aspect of Him as Creator in the days of their youth, somebody's got to teach them about Creator. If they don't know, they won't be mindful of Him. They'll never call the Creator to remembrance. They'll never think about God. You say, "Well, wait till they're 12 or 13 or 15. That's too late in some cases. It's time in their youth, in the days of thy youth. So, three things that kids should be taught when they're young, and if they're going to keep their minds, be mindful of, remember the Creator. Number one, kids should be taught they were made by Creator God. Think how many young people grow up today being taught there is no Creator. Now you think about that, folks. You didn't have a Creator. You evolved from a lower life form into a human being. I can't think of anything more encouraging to hear that I was once a tadpole. Boy, that makes me feel good. I was once a lower life form that didn't do anything more than crawl around on my belly, sucking up dust. Can you imagine that? What a disaster to teach lies like that to children. The truth is, as a human being, the Bible says they were created a little lower than the angels. That's a little higher than a tadpole. It's a little higher than a frog. It's a little higher than a monkey. And all the progression of the ignorant evolutionists. It's a little lower than the angels. They were created in the image of God. That's a little higher than a tadpole. They were created and formed in their mother's womb by the Creator. And the Bible says that that great Creator knows them intimately and that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know what? That helps a child to know they were created in God's image. What a crime to rob children from that knowledge. What a crime to not only rob them of that knowledge, but to substitute the truth with the lie of evolution. That's criminal, folks. It's premeditated damage to the people that teach it. They know it's at best a theory. What damage to the mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being of that child to teach them they progress from a tadpole to who they are today. So that's another reason we have had and we have now, and by God's grace, we want to continue to have a strong emphasis here on reaching youth. Not only the youth that belong to the parents of our church, but the youth that are out there in our community, in our area. We want them to know the truth about how they got here. They were made by Creator God. That's a great truth. And if they're going to think about God in the days of their youth, they need to know they were made by Creator God. Number two, the second thing that kids should be taught. Kids should be taught their Creator God loves them. You know, there's nothing that creates greater stability. Now think about this. There's nothing that creates greater stability and security in a child than them knowing they are loved. That's why dads, moms, you need to tell your children all the time, I love you. Well, they know it. Say it. God tells us He loves us. Say it. Say it every day. Say it more than once a day. Say it over and over again. There's nothing that creates security and stability in the life of a child than them knowing that they are loved. And here's why it's biblical. 1 John 4:8 says, 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. None. Now, I believe that true. I believe that's about any true love. When a child knows they are surrounded by people who truly love them, our parents, our grandparents, teachers, siblings, that kind of knowledge creates stability and security in the child. But folks, that verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 is not talking about the love of human beings. It's talking about the love of the Creator. The whole verse says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I hate to burst your bubble, but there's not a one of us in this room who can show perfect love. Complete, full, overflow, full agape love. We can't do that in our human, with our human sinful nature. We can do better than we do sometimes. But the only one who is capable of showing perfect love is God. Perfect love is complete love. It's mature love. It's full love. And that kind of love comes from our Creator. And what a help it is for children to be taught that God, their Creator, loves them with complete and full love. Complete and full love. And that kind of love casts out fear. There's a reason why one of the first songs little children learn in their Sunday school classes here is the last one they sang. Jesus loves me, this I know. So I want my child to learn something deeper than that. You can't get any deeper than that. That has no bottom. That's endless. That's like a fountain. It just goes and goes and goes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. That kind of knowledge helps a child. When the knowledge of their Creator God is withheld from a little child, it robs them of knowing that they are the object of His perfect love. Don't rob children from that. Perfect love helps to eliminate the fears that insecurity and instability create in a person. So what a great opportunity is ours to teach children that they are the object of God's perfect love. You know, I was thinking about this week, and I was this truth this week, and I remember when I was in Bible college, Brother Hiles, Jack Hiles, the pastor of the church there, he would tell the story about when he was a 5-year-old boy, and his mother took him to Sunday school, 5 years age, and he was insecure. His dad was the town drunk. And they were poor. And they walked in the class. They walked in the vestibule there. Somebody met him and said, who's this little guy? This is Jackie boy, I think. And they said, well, how old is he? I think he was five. Might have been six. I forget. So, okay, he goes down here to Mrs. Bethel's class. And they walked him down the hallway. And here he was. He was dressed in pants that had holes in the knees. They're poor. Dad was a town drunk. And they introduced him to Mrs. Bethel. And Mrs. Bethel was the teacher for that Sunday school class. And he was timid and hesitant and insecure. And she took him into the class and she sat him down on her knee. And he said, I looked out here at all these little boys and girls and they're all dressed up to a T. Beautiful clothes. Just so right. And he said, she looked down at me. And she said, she looked at the class. She said, boys and girls, this is Jackie Hiles, Jack Hiles. And Jack, you know what? God loves you as much as he loves any other boy and girl in this classroom. And now he's telling his stories in his 50s, in his 60s, when I'm in church up there. He never got over that. Never forgot it. That made such an impression on him that God loves me. And you know what the truth of the matter is? Kids need to be taught that their Creator God loves them. In fact, they need to be taught that He loves them so much, He gave His Son to die for their sin so they could go live with Him for all of eternity. And when the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, that includes children. God gets no glory, God gets no joy from people dying and going to hell because they were never saved from their sin. God gets no joy out of that. You know why? That's not His plan for them. It's not His plan. His will, His plan is for them to be saved. And God made that possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. That beautiful verse, the most well-known verse in all of the book, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, including little children, that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him. You say, well, that's a great thing to know when you're 25. That's a great thing to know when you're 5. It's a great thing to know when you're 7. It's a great thing to know, like some of these youngins up here, I saw them, they've been here for years now, coming out here on Sunday morning, this time in November and singing for us. When they were real, now they stood in the back row, they used to stand on the front row, when they were little, and here they are on their back, they're tall now, and they've been taught all these years, God loves you, and God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die so that you could be saved. What better message could be told to a child? That builds security, stability into them. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's much easier for someone to get saved in the days of their youth. Adults will argue about it. Well, you know, I think. Well, you know, I believe. Well, I remember what happened to me one time, and they have objections, and they have doubts, and they have reasoning, and they have pride. Who, me? Deserve to be separated from God forever in the place of me? Little children don't have objections. They don't have doubt. They're not full of pride. You tell a child they're a sinner, you ever lied to your parents? Yeah. They'll argue with you. You know what the Bible says about sin? The Bible says that if we die in our sin, it separates us from God forever in the place called hell. Well, I don't believe. You never hear a child say that. They just. But you know what? God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to go to the cross. And on that cross, He died for you and paid your sin debt in full. And your sins can be forgiven. You can become God's child by trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you through His death on Calvary and the empty tomb. Okay. I'd like to be saved. And as I said earlier, we don't twist their arms. We don't say, now you know you're a sinner. You could program a child like you program a computer. And that's not salvation. Salvation is done by the work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God in the heart of the child or adult. But statistics prove It is much easier for a child to get saved than an adult. Because the adult just has to admit, I'm wrong. God's right. It's much more difficult. Kids can be saved. And kids will be saved when they hear about God's wonderful love for them. If that's all these children remember from Sunday school, then teachers, you've given them a wonderful gift. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Yeah? Kids need to be taught that they are made by their Creator God. Kids need to be taught that their Creator God loves them. And number three, let me say this morning, kids should be taught to serve their Creator God. Oh, wait. That's something for adults. No. Children can serve God. They can serve God by obeying their parents. They can serve God by coming to Sunday school, junior church, sitting up and listening and learning the songs and memorizing the scripture. The kids can serve God. And because God made them and because God loves them, kids should be taught that they will be the happiest in life when they serve Him. Kids were made to bring God pleasure. Now, obviously kids bring parents pleasure. And just wait till you're a grandparent. Because grandparents... I don't get overboard there. Kids bring parents pleasure. But you know what? There's someone that they were created to bring pleasure to far higher than parents. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, kids. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So the idea is to reach youth for God and prepare them to serve Him with their life. And kids grow out of being children into teenagers, and then they become young adults, and then middle-aged adults, and then older adults. And while they are young, they have the strength and the energy to serve God, because guess what's coming? The evil days. Not sinful days. But those days are coming when you don't have the strength and energy to serve God anymore like you used to. You can't do the things you used to do. And this is what kids need to be taught. Serve God in the days of thy youth. And that's not just 6. That's 16. That's 26. It's in these years, young adults, those of you college, mid-20s, late-20s, and even further down, you know, down to the little kids. These are the days of your strength. These are the days of your physical might, your energy. And you take that and you don't use it just for yourself for financial gain. You use that to serve God. While you make a living. Oh, yeah. But you don't leave God out. And kids need to be taught that from their youth, in the days of thy youth. You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready for this message, it was a couple of months ago, 17 young adults left this church for college. 17. In a time period of about 2.5 weeks, we saw 17 people go away. That's what Isabel... Kayla are back in town today. These two ladies, 15 others. Do you know how many holes that left in this ministry? Everything from bus to Sunday school to music to, I mean, it left a bunch of holes. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. It's a blessing. Even now at college on Thursday, just about every week, maybe not every week, one of the students up there, one of the kids from here, will come by and give my wife or me and say, can you put my tithe in for me on Sunday? I always look at it and say, no, I never like it. Sometimes they'll say, can you wait for a minute while I write my tithe check out? I say, only if you add another zero. If I see the amount, it's accidental. I don't look at it. I take it. If they give it to me, I'll take it and put it in my shirt pocket like this, maybe in my briefcase if I'm carrying it. And I do that with joy. Well, how much is it? That's not what matters to me. What matters is here they are at 19, 21, however old they are, and they've got it. I'm going to serve God. And part of serving God is giving God what belongs to Him. And they've got it. And when Kayla says to me 3 or 4 weeks ago, Pastor, I had my first person come to that got saved and got baptized this past Sunday. My first. My heart just. This is what it's about. Anybody can make money. A good work ethic. Put your nose to the grindstone and work hard. You can make money. But it takes something in the heart of that young adult or young child that I'm not just created to exist down here and provide for myself. I am created to serve Him. Wow. Because you're going to serve somebody. I got to quit, but Brother Don Ball called me this week. He's a pastor down in Lebanon, Missouri. Tabernacle Baptist Church, that's where I went a couple years ago, you might remember, and preached to the military. Those of you that were here, Fort Leonard Wood. And they brought, that night, they brought like 92, if I'm right, there were 92 soldiers who were at Fort Leonard Wood, had 1 weekend away, and the church goes and picks them up and brings them. They have activities for them Sunday afternoon and feed them, and then they come to, and Brother Ball had me down and said, I want you to preach to them. And I preached for almost an hour. And that's what he told me. He said, they're not going anywhere. And they're trained to sit and listen. So preach away. He said, get them lost, get them lost, get them lost, get them lost, get them lost. And at the end, tell them Jesus will save them. So I did. I figured he knew better than me. I'd never done it before. And when I gave the, you know, I said, if you're not sure that you're saved, raise your hand. 64 hands went up in the air. I said, if you meant that, you're not sure that you're saved, look up at me. 60-something young faces looked up, men and women. I said, if you meant that, you want to know how to be saved. 48 of them came and trusted Christ as their Savior. 48 soldiers. You know how that started? Back in 1971. A man who had served in the Army and was retired was still had access to the fort, to the base, to Fort Leonard Wood. What is it called? The commissary? So he drove on a Saturday to the base to go to the commissary with his 15-year-old boy. And here were these soldiers. They're 1 weekend free, walking the sidewalks with cases of beer, boys and girls, girls and boys, going off to motel rooms. And it's obvious. And the 15-year-old said to his daddy, isn't there something we could do to teach them about Christ? And the dad said, go ask the preacher. And the next week, they took a van over there and picked up 6 soldiers. They've had as many as 900 come to that church. They owned the church, bought a bowling alley. Bought the bowling alley. They take the soldiers bowling. Then watch a football game, whatever, feed them. I drove up to get ready to preach. These soldiers are swinging on a swing set. But they're swinging without the drill sergeant. Ha! Faster, faster, faster! You know, they're enjoying their weekend. And there are converts all over this country who got out of the Army went to a church because they got saved down there. 15-year-old boy. Don't please, Lord, please, don't let me stand by him at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't stand by him. Can you imagine what that young man's reward will be? Oh, my goodness. Kids need to be taught to serve their Creator. The happiest you'll ever be in life is serving your Creator. Serving Him. So, kids need to be taught that they're made by their Creator God. They need to be taught that their Creator God loves them. And they need to be taught to serve their Creator God. That's another reason. The days of thy youth. Why we have a youth emphasis. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Just a moment, I'm going to close the service in prayer. And then we'll have a brief invitation. But let me ask just a couple of questions today. I just want you to be honest with yourself, with God. Just be honest with God. How many folks would say, Pastor, I'm here today and listen to the message. And that part about being saved and having our sins forgiven and knowing for sure that we're going to heaven. If I died right now, I could say I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt about it. For a Bible reason, I know I'm saved. If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air this morning if you know that? Thank you. I appreciate it. Take your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, Pastor Angel. I didn't raise my hand. I do not know for sure that I am saved, but my heart is stirred about that. I would like to know more about that. I would like to just pray that God will help you. Not by name, just pray a generic prayer. I'd like to be more informed if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven and your heart is stirred about that. Other people have lifted their hand. Nobody's looking. It's a private time. Could you just slip your hand up in the air? Say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die. Is that you this morning? Side to side, front to back. I'm not sure I'm saved. Upstairs, downstairs. Not sure I'm saved. God bless you. I see your hand. Wonderful. Anybody else this morning, include me in that prayer. I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, I thank you for the honesty that it takes to admit that. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw that heart to Christ this morning. Please, help that person to trust Christ and be saved even today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've been saved and not been baptized, and you know this is the time for you to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, come right away, and we'll get you slipped out to where you need to go. And these men are ready and these ladies are ready to assist you in that this morning. That's wonderful. And if you need to know where to go, Brother Allen can help you here. And we get ready to baptize in just a moment. All right? God bless you. That's wonderful. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Pastor Angel, my goodness, you know, I know you kind of preached about why we have the youth ministry, but I'm certainly glad to know this morning that I'm created by God and God loves me and I do want to serve Him and I need to do a better job with that. And God spoke to me about this morning while you preach. Could I see your hand? If you're like that here this morning, God bless you. All right? Thank you. If you're here to join the church this morning, when the music begins, you come right away. We'll get that taken care of. Father in heaven, I just pray that you'll bless us in this invitation time. Speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a minute, the music's going to play. If you're not sure you're saved and you'd like to know and you meant that, why don't you come right away? Some of those be baptized, they've already gone. If you're going to join the church, you come. If you want to use the altar, let's stand, please, while the pianist plays this morning. While we wait. Would you like to know for sure if you're going to heaven someday? We could have somebody show you. He could show you. That's right, right there. Alan.